And let's pray. We're going to get right into the Word of God, Matthew chapter 6. In fact, why don't we stand together? We've been here a while. Let's kind of shake our blood loose a little bit here. Get it flowing. And if you have the Lord's Prayer memorized in the King James, you can go ahead and just, we're going to close our eyes in a moment. We're going to pray the prayer from our hearts. Amen. We're not just doing this as a ritual, but we're making this a prayer for this moment in time. Amen. Let's do it. If you have it memorized, just close your eyes. If you need to, just look on the screen or read it in your Bible there. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Well, we've been teaching on the Lord's Prayer. This is part 5 of that series. If you missed some of the Sundays recently, I encourage you to go back. You can find them on our website. You can click on the little tab that says sermons, and they should be listed there, along with the classes that Brother Ryan's been teaching. You can also go back and hear those as well. Amen. So we're teaching on the Lord's Prayer. Jesus teaches us here that after we worship, because what does he do first? He worships in the Lord's Prayer. He says, hallowed be thy name. What is that? That's reverence. That's worship, right? I can't say enough about the need here in the West for us to understand reverence toward God. I talk to Christians quite often who have questions in their mind about how good God is, or did he cause an accident to happen, or did he cause so-and-so to die prematurely, or how come this child had this sickness, or what, you know, this bad thing happened to a Christian that they knew. You know, people question, what they're really questioning is God really good? They're questioning his goodness. And Jesus starts off the Lord's Prayer with this statement, hallowed be thy name. What is he saying? It is, God, you have nothing marked against your reputation. You have no bad marks against you. No matter what people say, no matter what people imply, your name is to be reverenced. And what is that name? Father. It's real simple. He says his name is Father. To us in the new covenant, he is our Father. Amen? And as Father, he's a good Father. Jesus says, hallowed be his name. His name is held high in high esteem. It's not been dragged through the muddy, although humanity does often. People do stupid things, and God gets the blame for it. Are you with me? Yes. See, we don't see behind the scenes everything that happens. We don't see the evil that's hidden from our eyes. And it's a sad thing when people blame God for evil. But Jesus says right here, his name is holy. Mm-hmm. His name as Father is reverenced. Yes. Amen? He cannot be evil. He cannot give evil because it's not in his heart. Amen? His name is to be reverenced. And then he goes on and he gives us things to ask for. And today, last week we looked at the provision that he gives us, what we call daily bread. He gives us provision, he gives us forgiveness, and he gives us deliverance. In what Jesus teaches us to ask in the Lord's Prayer, he's revealing what God has already delighted to give us. I want you to take note of that. These are the things that God already wants to give us, and in a sense has already provided for us. Amen? He's already provided your daily bread. He's provided forgiveness through the cross. And he's provided deliverance from all evil. Amen?
Amen.
He has, whether you believe it or not. Are you awake this morning?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We said last week, talking about the daily bread, that it delights the Father's heart to delight our heart. It delights the Father's heart to delight our heart. You need to understand that about God. He is delighted to delight you. Amen. In special ways, ways that only speak to your heart. The Bible says in Proverbs, only the heart of man can know. There are certain joys that only the man's heart within him can know. Everybody around him, his friends, even his close family, can't appreciate the deep joys that a human heart can know. But God knows. Amen. And that's what Jesus shares with us here. He says, ask for your daily bread. Ask for that thing that delights you. I pointed out last week as well that it's important to drink in every day all that God supplies. It's not just talking about food on your table. Yes, our body needs food. Amen? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I believe in all three. But there's more to a day's worth of daily bread than just mere food. It's emotional feeding we all need. Amen? We all need a little bit of joy. You need a little bit of laughter. You need a little bit of deep thinking. You need something every day that speaks deeply to your soul. It's good to take in nature's beauty, for example. I was driving to church this morning, and even though the temperatures are getting warmer and the spring flowers are starting to fade a little bit, there's a beautiful patch of Indian paintbrushes right along South Street near Light Christian Center. And every time I pass it, just about, I'll stop. I'll roll the window down so I get a real good clear picture. And I go, thank you, Father. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That patch of flowers is beautiful. I don't take it for granted. That's there for me. That's there for me to take in, to drink in. Why? Because we need beauty in our life. It's a need for the human soul. So that's a form of daily bread. Amen? Well, today we're going to cover forgiveness. So I hope you brought your steel-toed shoes. This statement, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, has made more liars out of the human race than probably any other document in human history. Because if we pray it, if we say it and don't live it, there's a problem. Amen? And the question is it true or not of you and I? Is it true or not? We're put on the spot, aren't we? Because if we say it, forgive us our debts, that's a request. The next part is a statement. It's a promise. As we forgive our debtors. We're telling God we're going to do something. We're asking God, please wipe out all my debt. And we need to ask this daily. Did you know that? Because daily we build up debt toward God. We don't love him enough. We don't serve him appropriately at times. We miss the mark, right? Along the way, every day. But he says, pray this daily. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So the question is, are you going to throw the book at the person that owes you? You going to demand they pay the full price for what they owe you? Mercy is never deserved. Amen? Mercy is never deserved. It just simply has to be released. It has to be given. Nobody ever deserves mercy. Did you know that? Yeah, that's right. Or have you so quickly forgotten? Nope. Remember we did a message a couple weeks ago about forgiveness? And I mentioned to you that parable where Jesus said that the one man owed the king so many shekels or denarius, whatever it was, the biblical currency of that day. And one estimator said that could be in the billions. The implication is he could never pay it back. And that's the truth of all of us. We all owe God more than we could ever pay. We can't pay it back. We have to have the debt canceled. And so daily we are faced with people who owe us a little bit of everything. I mean, everywhere you turn, somebody owes you something in your mind. They didn't smile big enough at me. They didn't say hi when they passed me in the hall, right? So you are accruing debt in your mind and your heart for other people. I want to encourage you, cancel the debt. Let it go. Mercy is never deserved. It just has to be given. Jesus is teaching us here in the Lord's Prayer. He's saying, to the extent that you want God to let you off the hook, you have to be willing to let others off the hook. And the question is, are you? That's a rhetorical question. Don't answer it here. We're in church, after all. But the question is, are you going to do that? Are you going to let other people off the hook? Or are you going to hold them to a debt that they owe you in your mind? You say, well, I'll forgive them if they tell me they're sorry. You may be waiting a real long time for that to happen. In fact, it may never happen. Truth is, Jesus wiped our debt at Calvary before we even had a breath on our lips to say, I'm sorry. He did it without us asking, I'm sorry. It takes maximum grace to forgive somebody when they're truly not sorry. What if they're not sorry? Will you forgive them? Well, that's a challenge, isn't it? They not only offended you, but they're not sorry for it. In fact, many times people just don't even know they offended you. They just don't know. But what if they know and they're not sorry? Ooh, you're really being pushed to the max there, aren't you, to love them and to forgive them in that case. Well, welcome to maximum grace opportunity. That's what Jesus is welcoming us into in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts. Let's read it out loud. It's here on the screen. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Listen, Jesus, in this phrase, he's making known the fact that he He knows that we're going to be hurt in life. Because he said, you're going to have debtors. You're going to have people who owe you. And I know that. However, you owed God. I owed God. In other words, Jesus doesn't make allowance. You know, he doesn't come behind you and pat you on the back and give you some real syrupy, sympathetic thing that says, I know they hurt you so bad. It was terrible what they did to you. No. Because why? Because we've offended God 10,000 times worse. Amen? We've offended God over and over and over again in our lives, way more than that. And yet God cancels the debt because of Jesus. Amen? Don't pray it if you're not going to obey it. It's getting real quiet in here. I told you you need to have steel-toed shoes for this one. Don't pray it unless you intend to obey it. We want God to forgive us. Are you going to forgive others? That's the question. We must forgive all the time, and that's why we need to pray this prayer on a regular basis or a similitude of it. Amen? Mm-hmm. We need to release people's debts regularly. I encourage you, the minute you're offended, boom, build a muscle in your spirit that says, I forgive them. Mm-hmm. I cancel the debt. Just say it under your breath. Don't tell them. Don't go to the person who offended you and say, I forgive you. You're going to welcome more problems into the situation than you want. And usually that means we're really just begging for them to know how hurt we were by their action. Exactly. It's really not us forgiving them. But when you're offended, the moment you recognize it, let it go. Cancel the debt. Say it with your lips, under your breath, like I said, not to them, to God. I cancel the debt. Say it with me. I cancel the debt. It's not an emotion. You may not feel like letting that hurt go. Well, I don't think God felt much like forgiving us for all that we've offended him with, honestly. But this kind of forgiveness is not about your emotion. It's about a decision and a willingness to say, I let it go. I cancel the debt. Someone cuts you off on the highway, I cancel the debt. Your neighbor plays his music too loud or his motorcycle engine too loud, I cancel the debt. Whatever it is. Turn to Hebrews chapter 8, if you will, please. Hebrews chapter 8. We're done in Matthew 6 for now. Hebrews chapter 8. You know, forgiveness is the very basis of our salvation. You couldn't have got saved without forgiveness. You know that? This is so elementary to the Christian life. And yet many times you meet someone who's been a Christian a long time, and they're older than you, or they're further along in Christ than you, and they're grumpier than you. They're angrier than you. They're more short-fused than you by comparison. Why is that? Listen, we don't want to grow old and grow grumpy. They made a movie years ago, Grumpy Old Men, right? Because the typical experience in life is the longer you live, the more chance you have to get offended, right? The more opportunity, the more you're around people, the more opportunity you're going to have to build offense. To have this growing debt of anger, resentment, they owe me, or not. Depending on which way you take it. Look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 through 12. This is the covenant, the Lord says, I will make with the house of Israel after that time. Anytime you see that phrase, after that time, in the Old Testament, it usually refers to the time of the cross. Amen? Stepping over into the new covenant. So when you just make a note of that when you're reading your Bible, studying your Bible, when you see the phrase after that time, it's usually referring to that new era that we're in, which was called the age of grace. Amen? After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds. I'll write them on their hearts. I'll be their God. They will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Look at verse 12. Here's the key. For I will forgive their wickedness. I will remember their sins no more. Amen? The very basis, the bedrock of the new covenant is this last statement that God makes. I will forgive their sins. I will remember their wickedness no more. Amen? Aren't you glad that God forgives our sins and that he remembers our wickedness no more? Or forgives our wickedness, remembers our sins no more, I think it says in the NIV. Is that what we got? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? We're living in a great time. David said, blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression the Lord will not count against him. Listen, every day you and I have a chance to count somebody's sin against us. Or not. Or you can cancel the debt. Amen? And be a free person. See, in canceling their debt, we're really the one that goes free. Because when you hold a debt, when you hold a grudge, it's like putting another link in your own chain of bondage. Amen? It keeps you free to cancel others' debts. The kingdom advances or is halted on the very practice of this rule, forgiveness. I'll say that again. The kingdom of God either advances, it moves forward, or it is halted, is stymied, based on this principle or this rule of forgiveness. Why is that? Because God's kingdom is a kingdom of love. The kingdom of God moves forward as people love other people. You ever heard stories, heard testimonies of someone who was real stubborn coming to Christ? And either their spouse or a friend or a neighbor or a coworker just kept witnessing to them, telling about Jesus over and over again, telling about the love of God, sharing the gospel with them over and over, inviting them to church. They just kept resisting. What was that? The love of God was reaching out to them. It's the love of God that drew them in. Amen. And that love had to keep forgiving, had to keep overlooking their grumpy disposition, their rejection of the gospel, their rejection of the invitation. The love of God had to keep looking past that and keep reaching out to them time and time again. And that's how the kingdom of God advances. It's a kingdom of love, and it advances as we forgive others. Amen. How do you show your gratitude for being forgiven? Listen, you want to show God how much you appreciate being forgiven? Forgive others. And laugh about it. Amen. Laugh about it. It's laughable. Someone so owes you 50 cents worth of offense today, and your debt was in the billions to God. Come on. Yes. That's laughable. Yes. It's laughable. Next time someone offends you, laugh about it. Amen. It's petty. It's penance. It's pence. You know, what are they? Tuppence. It's tuppence compared to God's, the debt you owed God. It's tuppence. It's nothing. Yes. It's laughable. And you can enjoy your salvation with a greater degree of gratitude than you ever had before, knowing God forgave me so much. I can only forgive others. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Turn back to the left. A couple books. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Paul's talking to the Corinthian church, and they had a major issue going on in the church. I've mentioned this to you before. There was a man in the church who was sleeping with his father's wife. It wasn't his original biological mother, but he was having sexual relations with a woman who was his father's wife. Pretty bad stuff. Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians, says, you got to correct this, you got to deal with it, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Right. And so he said, deal with this sin in the church. Let's get it corrected. Let's get it taken care of. And now he's teaching the church in 2 Corinthians. He said, let's forgive the sinner, or else, look at verse 10, 2 Corinthians 2:10, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes. Amen. Paul says here, you want to be outwitted by the devil? Refuse to forgive. To the degree that you and I hold back forgiveness, we are actually being ensnared by Satan. Did you know that? I know this is a sobering message, but hey, wake up. It's true. You allow offense, you're giving place to the devil. You refuse to forgive, you're letting old slew foot slip you up and trip you up. And trap you in that moment. For what? A silly, petty little thing that somebody did to you. They either did or didn't even know they were doing it. And it upset you. And yet God has forgiven you everything. Come on. Let's don't be outwitted by Satan. Amen, church? Let's don't be outwitted by him. The Apostle John tells us, look in 1 John chapter 2. Several books to the right there, right before Revelation. 1 John chapter 2, I want you to see what John had to say about it. We looked at Paul's words there in Corinthians. These are men who spoke by insight, amen? They spoke by revelation. So Paul saw behind the scenes, he saw the Corinthian church, and he says, now if we don't forgive this man who did this wrong in the church, we're going to do what? We're going to give devil place. And Paul tells him, he said, let's walk in forgiveness, let Satan outwit us. Look what John says in 1 John 2:11. 1 John 2:11. He that hateth his brother is in darkness. Say darkness. And walketh in darkness and knows not where he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Unforgiveness will blind you. Unforgiveness will put you in the dark in your life. Listen, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. You got a path to walk. I've got a path to walk. And you want to have all of a sudden the lights go out and you can't see where you're going. You're tripping, you're stumbling, you're hurting people, you're hurting yourself. It's no fun. Forgive. Better to forgive. Amen? Amen. Better to walk in the light. When you walk in the forgiveness of God, you're walking in the light. Brother Hagin used to say it this way. Every step out of love is a step into the devil's camp. It's a step into darkness. Amen. The minute you and I step out of love, we're stepping right into deepest darkness. Got to let it go. Let it go. It's not worth it. I want the light. How about you? Amen. I want to see where I'm going. Amen. Right. I love myself enough. I don't want to walk in darkness. Right. And there's been seasons in my life, I'm sure you've experienced it too, where you were slow to let go of a grudge, right? What happens, man? The world around you starts falling apart slowly, but it's coming in on you. It's caving in. Why? Because you're walking in darkness. You're in the devil's domain. What did I say a moment ago? The kingdom of God is a kingdom of love. It's all about love. The kingdom advances on the principle of love. The kingdom of darkness advances on the principle of hate, unforgiveness. Amen. Darkness. That's how Satan's kingdom progresses. And it can progress in the life of a believer just like it does an unbeliever. Did you hear me?
Yes.
If you're saved, but you're walking like the unsaved, guess what? You're playing with fire. We all know what happens when you play with fire. You're going to get
burned.
Mm-hmm. Look at this amazing verse. I may be ahead of myself here. Yeah, I'm a little bit ahead of myself. But 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11 and 12. Pull that up on the slide. This is in the Message translation. Look at this warning. It's really good in the Message. I want you to see it in this translation. Just look up here on the screen. I'm going to read it out loud. These are all warning markers. Danger. Now, Paul's quoting here the verses before this. He's talking about all that happened in the Old Testament that Israel suffered, right? But they were an example to us in the New Testament. And he says, danger in our history books. These are written down so that we don't repeat their mistakes. Our positions in the story are parallel. Them at the beginning, we at the end. And we are just as capable, say just as capable. We're just as capable of messing it up as they were. Is that both verses? So don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. That's good in the Message, isn't it? Don't be confident. Don't be so cocky and think, well, I have a right to hold a grudge. They wronged me, man. I'm going to make them pay. If you're saying that in your heart, I'm telling you, you're falling flat on your face. You're stumbling right in the devil's territory. You're walking in darkness. Rather say under your breath, I cancel the debt. I let it go. And you won't feel anything at first. In fact, you probably have to say it 10 times a day, 100 times a day. I cancel the debt. And every time that thought comes to your mind, oh, remember what they did? Oh, it was terrible. It was terrible. I cancel the debt. You got to make the choice. Amen. You got to choose to cancel the debt. Now, I want you to see in the Lord's Prayer. Let's think about the steps of the Lord's Prayer for just a moment. He says, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I know it says in the King James in earth, but we told you that most translations say on earth. So I like to say on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, right? So we're asking for what? Provision. Then he goes to the next step. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation. I want you to see this. These are not all broken up ideas. I know they sound very different from one another, but the Holy Ghost is very smart. And when he wrote stuff in this book, I'm telling you, it's all related. It's all interconnected. And when Jesus says, forgive us our debts, and then in the next breath he says, and lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. What's he talking about? You want to step into temptation? You want to step into the devil's evil? You try walking in unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. See, the phrase before, it's all connected. Temptation, the prayer for deliverance from evil. You might as well not pray it if you're not going to pray the phrase before it. God can't deliver you from evil if you won't forgive. Are you with me?
Yes.
Lost a few of you, but we got a few still hanging on by a thread. They say it this way in the gun world. They say the best way to win a gunfight is to what? What? That's not what I heard. No, that's not the right answer. You don't shoot first. The best way to win a gunfight is to avoid a gunfight. That's what they taught me in gun class. I took a gun class. I took a gun class from a Vietnam vet. He knows his stuff. And his teaching to our class was, I suppose you could win it by shooting first, but the best way to avoid a gunfight, excuse me, the best way to win a gunfight is to avoid a gunfight. Are you with me? Why? Because the idea is not get shot, not to die, to live. So you avoid that thing if you can. So we're talking about temptation and evil. It's all connected. Do you see the idea? It's all connected. Forgiveness, temptation, evil, it's all connected. It's all related. Jesus ties it together. Right? You want to win over evil? Forgive. Yeah. You want to win over temptation? Forgive. The people who walk in love the deepest are avoiding evil at all costs. The minute you say, I have a right, or they had no right to do such and such to me, now you're putting your rights ahead of the Word of God. The Word of God says, forgive as you've been forgiven. Want to avoid evil? Want to avoid temptation? Forgive. Billy Sunday made this comment. He said, the reason so many Christians fall into sin, he was a famous evangelist back in the day. He was one of the guys connected to leading Billy Graham to the Lord. Billy Sunday said, the reason so many Christians fall into sin is that they treat temptation like strawberry shortcake instead of a rattlesnake. I like that. That's a big difference, isn't it? It's either strawberry shortcake or it's a rattlesnake. Avoid that thing. Listen, when offense comes your way, it feels so good to hold a grudge sometimes. Am I the only one that feels that? Y'all left me on the end of the branch right there. No laughter, no comment. I'm the only human in the room. Why? Because our response is, I've got to create my own justice in the situation. And many times the only response we have in order to do that is simply hold a grudge, an inner grudge. Hey, that's a rattlesnake. That's not straw. It may taste like strawberry shortcake, but brother, in the end, that thing's going to bite you. That's what Jesus is teaching right here in the Word. You know, Joseph's technique in the Old Testament, Joseph, not Mary's husband, but Joseph in the Bible that was in Egypt, his technique for avoiding temptation, it looks ugly on the outside, but it's the best way to do it. And what did Joseph do when he was tempted in Potiphar's house? He ran. That's an ugly response. It doesn't look very manly. It doesn't look very courageous. But that's what you got to do when temptation comes your way. And listen, when offense comes your way, you have a choice to embrace it, take hold of it, or you can flee that thing and say, that is not for me. I'm letting it go. And your relatives may even look at you and say, did you see how bad they hurt you? What do you think about that? I think according to the Word. I forgive them because God canceled all my debt. That's what I think about it. Amen?
Yes.
If you want to be free, amen. Yes. Jesus said, deliver us from evil. That part of the Lord's Prayer will eventually be obsolete. Did you know that? One day in heaven, we won't need to pray that anymore. Deliver us from evil. But in the meantime, as long as we're here on planet Earth, it's a good thing to pray that daily. Deliver us from evil. Pray it ahead of the day. Father, there are going to be things that come my way. So-and-so in my office at work is probably going to annoy me. You know, my boss is probably going to do such and such. My neighbor is going to do such and such. I can see it coming, Lord. I can feel it on the way. I cancel the debt ahead of time. Lead me not into temptation. Lord, don't let me be tempted. And you know, really, when we pray that prayer, I really believe that part of the Lord's Prayer is more of a statement of God's truth than a request we have to ask for.
That's right.
I believe it's a statement of how faithful our Father is. He will not lead us into temptation. The Bible says He can't be tempted with evil.
That's right.
He's only good. And so when I pray that, I personally make it a statement. I say, Father, I thank You. You don't lead me into temptation.
Amen.
But I know You will deliver me from evil. That's who You are. He's a good God. Amen. He will deliver us from evil. But you got to make the choice. Are you going to hold on to a grudge? That's why Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive. Amen? Let's all stand together. I'm not teaching this series as a way of being legalistic in your prayer life. I think there's more to our prayer life than these exact words per se. But I know that there's power in what Jesus instructed. And if Jesus said every day you're going to need daily bread, then by golly, I'm going to ask for daily bread every day. Amen? If Jesus said you're going to need a dose of forgiveness every day of your life, I believe that's probably true. And I'm going to make the choice every day. I'm going to forgive as I've been forgiven. So I want to encourage you in taking this prayer to heart, make it a part of your daily life. How do you get ready for the day? You realize there could be offense come my way today. And I've got a choice to make. How am I going to respond in this situation with offense? I think it's just fun to just let it go. Say under your breath, I cancel the debt. And realize it's laughable, the size of that debt in comparison to what you owed God. Amen? You may be here today and you have something staring you in the face big time right now. A challenge to forgive. You might be right in the midst of exactly what we're talking about here today. Just caught in this storm, this temptation to hold a grudge, the temptation to get angry, the temptation to justify your own feelings of retaliation. Well, the Lord's gently nudging you today toward that which will give you freedom, and that is forgiveness. Amen? So with heads bowed for just another moment, I believe we're in the household of faith. I believe everyone here is a Christian in your heart. But you know, it's not very Christian-like not to forgive, because God forgave us. And so in these moments, I want to just ask you to, in your heart, release and cancel every debt that's before you. Some of you, like I said, you got something staring you in the face big time right now. You could, if I ask for, you know, your hand to go up, you go, yeah, I mean, I know exactly what it is I need to forgive. And listen, you can do it. You can do it by the power of the grace that's been given you, because God has forgiven you every debt. Therefore, there's grace for you to forgive the smallest, pettiest debt that's owed you by another person. Amen? Are you ready for joy to enter your life again? Are you ready for fullness and goodness and the lights to be on brightly, the kingdom of God to shine brightly in your life, in your world? Then let's walk in forgiveness. Let's just pray this prayer. Father, I choose to cancel every debt,
to release all that is owed to me.
No matter how great the offense, no matter how painful the hurt,
how deep the wound,
nothing is deeper
or greater
than the debt that you canceled for me.
Thank you for Jesus,
who wiped my ledger clean.
I release all debts today.
In accordance with your word,
in obedience to your command,
I forgive
as you forgave me.
Now thank you, Father,
for the power,
for the restoration,
and the healing in my heart
from all the pain
that Satan has tried to bring
in this situation.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Listen, there's power in obedience. There's feelings in obedience. Amen. How many of you can testify to that? You didn't feel it on this side of it, but once you stepped over across that line of obedience, all of a sudden some things changed. Your world changed. Your emotions changed. God can bring the emotions. He can bring the joy. He can bring all the healing in your heart. That comes later. But the first step is your obedience and mine. It's an action. It's a choice. It's not an emotion. We say, I will forgive. I cancel the debt. We will to cancel the debt. And then laugh a little bit about it. Chuckle to yourself. Again, when you measure the size of that debt compared to what you owed God, it's laughable. Amen? I just speak the blessing, the light, the glory of God in your life in a way that you've not known in recent times, in greater measure because you and I are walking in obedience to this part of the prayer. Amen? In Jesus' name. Well, God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord. Remember, next week it's Easter. Tell somebody, bring someone to church who hasn't been in church in a while. Amen?